5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wendy Bell.
She says only the truth.
Welcome to your daily dose of fact.
Well, our greatest responsibility is to serve our communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about troubled, irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on
CBS News.
Some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
And that is what they did. They buried the Hunter Biden story before the election because they were like, we can't risk having the election thrown to Trump. We'll tell them after the election.
And we know for a fact that that's what they did?
Of course. You don't follow
this. Saying you know for a fact that that's what they did. I don't know what they did.
I know, because you only watch MSNBC.
The time has come. I've had enough. I'm taking back my land.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea. 3 hours of bold truth, excellence, and optimism for America. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
My goodness, today is zipping by quickly. Already hour number 3 of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Welcome aboard. Welcome to the family. We're delighted to be with you. We do have a lot to squeeze into this last hour or so, but I'm not done, and I usually don't like to bring stories that of people who I dislike over into a new hour, but Fauci isn't done. And I want to specifically have you hear this audio soundbite. And Brock, I'm going to skip the fourth one. I'm going to go with the fifth one, the last one, because Dr. Fauci, in this particular soundbite, talking on News Nation with Chris Cuomo last night, becomes the living embodiment of gaslighting. If you've ever read about the word gaslighting, I think as a philosophy, as an idea, as a theme, we understand what it is. It's the selling of something garbage and like deceiving it. But it's beyond that, because there's an emotional side of it, an abusive side of it, a controlling, manipulative, psychological yuck side of it that is, I think, so inherent in much of why we feel so uncomfortable in America today. There's just this general unease. There's a reason why I enjoy even driving 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour out of the city into the country. Because there's less noise there. It is hardworking. It is honest. It is handshake country, where people do what they say they're going to do, where you don't need a lawyer to go through the contract. You give somebody your word, where it's okay as a man to be a manly guy, to care for your wife, to do chivalrous things, and it's okay for a woman to make dinner every night. The traditional family values don't need to be celebrated. They just work for a lot of us. You don't need to explain. It just works. Where kids are raised in homes with people who love them, and while nobody pretends to be perfect, things just kind of work out. It's just not that complicated. The left wants to make everything so complicated. And when you bring in emotional, psychological abuse, a la gaslighting, it's so distasteful. Anthony Fauci does that. One of the main tactics of somebody who's trying to pull one over on you as a gaslighter, they're going to turn an argument around and blame you, or blame someone who's speaking out about you, or them, I should say. This is what he does. Chris Cuomo is going to ask him, well, what about former CDC Director Robert Redfield, who testified before this House Judiciary Committee last week, which Jim Jordan was the chair of? He said he believed that the virus didn't just start in December or January, that it happened in September of 2019, and that it was absolutely, in his expert opinion, and he is an epidemiologist or a virologist, I should say, started in a lab. He says, don't take my word for it, but that's what it is. And by the way, Fauci was inviting all these other people onto this phone call because he needed them to get behind this theory that it started in a wet market, because his fingerprints, his money, which is our money, was all funneled through the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And this was a major embarrassment. This crap leaked from that lab. Anybody with a functioning cerebral cortex knows that. And it was a bad look. And so Chris Cuomo is going to ask Fauci about that. And Fauci is going to gaslight because he is incapable of being anything other than an egomaniac. He is incapable of being anything other than narcissistic. He is incapable of saying, I was wrong. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have been doing this. We need to make sure it doesn't happen again. He's going to deflect, deny, point fingers, and then say, it's such a shame that Dr. Redfield felt that way. Listen for it, because it is number one on the list of how to gaslight someone. Turn the tables on them so that they're the ones who are in the wrong, not yourself. Audio soundbite 5.
Why do you think you were excluded from those calls?
Because it was told to me that they wanted a single narrative and that I obviously had a different point of view.
Do you think that the paper does hide the truth?
I think it's an inaccurate paper that basically was part of a narrative that they were creating. Remember, this pandemic did not start in January at the seafood market. We now know there was infections all the way back into September.
So now they heard what he said.
Yeah.
And you know what the suggestion is, that the paper was wrong, but you guys wanted a different story than he was going to tell.
Well, you know, it's really sad, Chris, that he's wrong on every single account. But you don't need to take my word for it. You take the word for the people. He's saying that the phone call to discuss the possibility that this might have been engineered, that I was in charge of the phone call and I deliberately excluded him because his ideas differed from what he interpreted were mine. Well, first of all, he had no idea what my ideas were because I kept a completely open mind. Secondly, I was not responsible. I didn't include or exclude anybody from the call.
I'm so sorry he feels that way, but he's wrong. He's been wrong about everything. I've kept a totally open mind. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the guy who told you what to do. He's the guy who said, shut it down. He was the guy who said, wear a mask, wear another mask, roll up your sleeve, get your kids vaccinated. He's the guy who said, get them home at school. Don't get them at school. Get them home. He's the guy. He's blaming everybody else.
Can I say the best thing Tony Fauci did was say, don't send them to school, because parents finally learned what's... So if Tony Fauci did anything right, there you go.
I think we can make those arguments about a lot of things that have been very painful in the last several years. Everything that we're going through, so painful, has to happen so you see the plan. And the plan is to destroy America from within. Now, so the Democratic Party realizes it's on uber shaky ground. For years, they cajoled black voters. But black voters woke up. Some still are generational Democrats. They will never vote any other way. Republicans are racists. They're not going to see anything other than that. Okay, that's fine. But more and more have awakened to the idea that I can't educate my kid where I want. Our schools are dreadful in our community. There is an achievement gap. We're falling further and further behind, and they're spending more and more of my money. Something's got to change. So what does the Democratic Party do? Well, by now you've probably heard that the city of San Francisco is going to pay out billions of dollars to black American residents as a form of reparations. The whole idea of this is so inherently racist and discriminatory and offensive, it's not even funny. Indeed, the city's board of supervisors has voted unanimously to shell out $5 million for every single black resident living in the city, regardless of whether their ancestors faced slavery and or Jim Crow. Doesn't matter. Total madness. Everybody knows it's unaffordable. Everybody knows it's not going to happen. Everybody knows there would be the most ridiculous pushback. It's garbage. It's all they have. Now, this development mirrors what the state of California is attempting to accomplish. By ascertaining what type of reparations package the Golden State can concoct to address the evils of discriminatory laws passed during the Jim Crow period, since there was never slavery in the state of California. One of those inconvenient truths, of course. Under San Francisco's plan, black residents who qualify would receive an annual payment of $97,000 for the next 20, oh, wait, no, excuse me, $97,000 for the next 250 years. What? So what does that guarantee? That you, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren never have to do a damn thing in their lives? They would also have all their debts paid and the ability to purchase a home for only a dollar. Doesn't that sound sweet? Of course it does. But there's one huge problem. And it's, of course, one that everybody knew would be the case when the city was pretending it was going to provide some kind of reparations package. That number represents almost half of the city's annual budget. That $5 million lump sum would cost the city residents $210 billion. The state budget for all of California last year was almost exactly the same, $213 billion. San Francisco wants almost all of that just for themselves in reparations. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot defend the crazy. And everything that is going on with these people is indefensible, unaffordable, untenable, and built by design. Now, what if you had an extra $26,000 in your pocket per employee that you paid during the pandemic? This isn't farcical. This is factual. Because there are 125 Wendy Bell Radio listening businesses that heard me talk about this, that called covidtaxrelief.org, went there online, and they collectively got refunds, relief, tax relief, to the tune of $11 million. That's crazy. Look, you're not breaking the law. You're not spending money that should be paid back to the government anyway. It's already been passed. Now, your chance is to see if there's $26,000 per employee that you paid during COVID with your name on it. COVIDtaxrelief.org. COVIDtaxrelief.org. Go. I can't tell you the specifics of it. I know that you don't have to pay taxes on it. I know you don't have to pay it back. It's not a loan. It's given to you. And these CPAs at COVIDtaxrelief.org can help you figure it out. COVIDtaxrelief.org, COVIDtaxrelief.org. Check it out. I think it's very interesting. $11 million. Holy moly. How about this? I'm going to drop something. Liberalism is a psychological disease. Wow, that sounds serious. No, it sounds factual. And I think we've got the goods to back it up. I'll drop it on you next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. So a man who served 2 years for torching a police precinct during the 2020 autonomous zone runs for Seattle City Council. You cannot make this up. I guarantee you he wins. What do you want to bet? See, in Crazy Town, they reward lunacy. Liberalism is a psychological disorder. I'm sorry. There's no other way to deduce what's going on. Isaiah Thomas Willoughby was released in March 2022 following a 2-year prison sentence for starting a fire that scorched the Seattle Police Department's East Precinct in the early morning hours of June 12th of 2020. What? Here's the story. A man who received a 2-year sentence for setting fire to a Seattle police precinct. That's more than Republicans or conservatives or anybody who supported Donald Trump on January 6th did to the state capitol or to the U.S. Capitol. Period. set fire to a police precinct. Remember, not a single protester on January 6th was found to have a weapon. But these people need to be thrown in prison and locked away. This cat, because he's black, because he's a Democrat, because it sounds like he's a lunatic, anybody who would set fire to a police precinct or set fire to anything, he's probably going to get rewarded. Isaiah Thomas Willoughby was released in March of 2022 following a two-year prison sentence in conjunction with 3 years of supervised release for starting a fire outside the Seattle Police Department's East Precinct in the early morning hours of June 12, 2020. Willoughby pled guilty to federal arson charges. The Tacoma native, who's also lived in Seattle, has filed to run in Seattle's District 2 against socialist incumbent Tammy Morales. Interesting. Now, Tammy Morales, we found a little audio soundbite from her. It sounds like the people in Seattle in this district are screwed. You've got no options. Listen to what this cat said. This is Tammy Morales, Seattle council member, who's announcing a run for a second term because, boy, she deserves it.
But what I don't want to hear is for our constituents to be told to be civil, not to be reactionary, to be told that looting doesn't solve anything. And, you know, it does make me wonder and ask the question why looting bothers people so much more than knowing that across the country, Black men and women are dying every day and far too often at the hands of those who are sworn to protect and serve.
Factually incorrect. Factually incorrect, Ms. Morales. Ring, ring. Hello. Oh, hi. Yes. Gary May from the University of California, Davis. You would like to talk to Tammy Morales about getting yourself in an excrement fix because you didn't pay attention to the facts and you just fell for the headline? Because all liberals seem to react rather than read? Because it seems like on the left, it's the point is to be what? Riotous? Angry? Not educated. Not educated. So here's what I have on deck for you guys. This claim that we have this problem in America with the police. It's not people like Mr. Willoughby who decides to take the law in his own hands and torch a police precinct. Not him. He should be able to run for office. He's exactly the kind of calm-minded individual who I'm sure would engage in great conversation with constituents of various viewpoints. I could see it. Couldn't you? Police are vilified every single day. Cop killing people. Ah, they want to just go after black people and brown people. Ooh, everybody is surprised that New York City had 120% increase in the last 2 months of police officers retiring. Why would you ever want to be a cop? Because this factual data, Council Member Morales, doesn't support your allegation that every single day in our cities, people are being killed by the police. Well, that inconvenient truth, making it sound as though that cops are gunning for folks. The reality is there's been a precipitous drop-off of officer-involved shootings that lead to the deaths of perpetrators or people out there in society. But all by golly, don't worry about all the black on black, the white on white, brown on brown crime out there exterminating a generation of young people. Well, let's get the facts, shall we? Buckle up, friends. I got the BS board next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program. I am unabashedly, unapologetically an advocate of law enforcement. I appreciate the men and women who have a thankless and ever more increasingly miserable job, squeezed by woke departments that made them get the vaccine or take a hike, losing their pensions. And if anything went sideways, if they did take the jab, lo and behold, what kind of support do you think you get from the people at the top? Besides, not much. Throw in, of course, this whole idea that police are inherently racist. that we need to put body cams on everybody, that we need to be all scrutinizing every decision, we need to armchair quarterback every decision, and that in some stories, cops have to call headquarters and ask for an okay to do their jobs. Do I think a police officer should shoot somebody in the back who's running away from them? No. No, I don't. But do I believe I have the ability to judge what somebody is doing in the moment that I'm not there? Look, I've had somebody break into my house before. I thought I would be cool and calm. I was a lunatic. I dialed 411, okay? So it's easy to say, I would do this. Why didn't he or she do that? We have no earthly idea what's going on in their minds, what's going on in these communities. Drugs are out of control. People are homeless in record numbers. There is this cavalier attitude about drug use, about criminality in general, while, of course, the left try to say you can't criticize these people because that's ableist. These people need help. Yeah, they need help. They need help off the street. Yeah, they need help, but they're not getting it. Not in the Democrat-run city I live in, I can tell you that. And so what do we have? Projections for the year just in New York City. 1,400 projected resignations in the police force. 1,400 cops are projected to resign this year before they qualify for retirement. That's even more than last year's record, 1,297. Who's going to protect the people in New York? Who's going to keep the streets safe? Why do you think that bodega owner or clerk had a knife? And then when you protect yourself or you try to, excuse me, Brock, hop in for a second. I'm going to cough.
You got to let me turn your mic off. I think that liberalism, going back, is a disease because they don't want to hear the other side at all. And I think that, wait, there's my sheet. The liberalism when it comes to the police is all bad. They don't want to hear about when they call the cops and say, hey, 911, someone's breaking into my house.
Absolutely right. And here's another thing. The stories that don't make the headlines are the police officers who go the extra mile and aren't on camera. It's the Donald Trump story. The Donald Trump story that people share quietly in the shadows about, you know, I was struggling with something. I wrote him a note and he did blank for me. It's Sidney Crosby on the Pittsburgh Penguins going in the stairway instead of the elevator when the cameras are there on the Penguins Day to go to Children's Hospital and say hi to the kids who are struggling with cancer treatment or various problems. He doesn't want the limelight. He wants to make the connection quietly because he's not there for the accolades. Our police officers do this every day. Are there cops out there who are bad cops? Absolutely. But I want to break out the BS board and give you some numbers that are a little inconvenient truth and the source material so you can go and double check me on them. Go ahead.
Time to cut the crap because Wendy's breaking out the Ireland contracting BS board.
So we just heard Tammy Morales, who's running for re-election for Council District 2 seat in Seattle, saying that police officers, we got a real problem. Cops are out there killing people every single day. Well, that is a gross over-exaggeration, and it's a gross misrepresentation of what's really going on in this country. And it's time for us to break through that narrative with some stats, okay? So here's the board. It's titled Police Violence. The source is Reason.com. Reason.com. It's a website. We've put a link on the Wendy Bell Radio Network app, specifically taking you to this article so you can check it out. You can see what's going on here. The claim is that police killed in 2022 a record number of people, 1,183 people. This is just an incredible number, the allegations are on these websites. The headlines state, now remind you, that police officers across America have 50 million encounters every year with the public. 50 million. You want to do the math on 1,183? It is a shockingly low number of police officer involved shooting deaths. But we're going to go even further in that. Not only is this not an outrageously high number, the numbers have been coming down precipitously. Factually, here we go. In New York City, between the years of 1970 and 1974, when the population was 7.5 million, police shot and killed, on average, 62 people a year. So what was that? One every 6 days or so. All right. Fast forward to 2015 to 2021, when New York City's population grew to 8.7 million people, an influx of 1.2 million, those police officer involved shootings and killings went down to an average of 9 people a year. 62 down to 9 a year. Stop spreading the story that cops are out gunning for people because it's incorrect. But New York City isn't the only example we have. Here we go. Los Angeles, where I come from. Over the same time span. So we're going to look at 1970 to 1974. To the time period of 2015 to 2021, the population of Los Angeles itself grew by 1 million people. But police killings actually went down. In fact, they went down by 50%. Instead of police killing on average 30 people a year, between 2015 and 2021, that number dropped to 15. That's an inconvenient truth as well, especially when you want to share the narrative that cops are just rogue, black and brown hating people who are just running and gunning indiscriminately. In Philadelphia, police involved killings dropped from 18 per year from 1970 to 1974 to 4 in 2015 to 2021. 4. Why isn't that making news? How about in Detroit? Police killings dropped from an average of 26 a year to 4. Same story. And finally, in Chicago, which is crazy town, police killings dropped from 43 in the 70s to last year's 8. Why doesn't anybody talk about that? Where's that headline? In fact, across 18 major cities surveyed, there has been a 69% drop in fatal police shootings. And what's gone on over the last 3 years? A precipitous increase in violence. Look at Philadelphia. Look at Baltimore. Look at San Francisco. Look at Los Angeles. Look at New York City. Look at Chicago.
I was going to say, Lori Lightfoot just lost her job because of it.
Amen. Police have actually been hamstrung. They are now unable to do their jobs for fear of backlash, for fear of that knee-jerk reaction that the lackey reporter who's so eager to push out that leftist headline, like the one that said Charlie Kirk supported lynching transgender individuals, which of course he never said, nor does he feel. Don't let the facts get in the way with the headline. And the headline is the thing that stokes the fury and the rage and the riot. So I wonder, which is more dangerous in this country? Police or the media? Police or leftism? Police or everything Joe Biden's administration is pushing? See, when you take the time and you do the digging and you read, you realize that nowhere in the Parental Rights and Education Bill does it say, don't say gay. Nowhere in Turning Point USA's literature do they say, we hate gay people. Transgender people should be killed. They can't argue lunacy versus common sense. lunacy tells you it's okay that a baby full term can be aborted, and that that act should not absolutely traumatize and horrify anybody aware of it. Common sense says, you know what? We should have a conversation about this. It should be level-headed and measured. But that's not where we are, because the left needs reaction. Because what they have is indefensible policy that's based on emotion. It's based on victimhood. It's based on creating some kind of a lesserling class and then pretending, like reparations, to ride in on the white horse to save the people and solve the problem that they created. Now, in Realville, we're very comfortable when we go to bed at night. We know who we are. I'm not so sure these people can say the same. It is a disease, liberalism, unfortunately. I wish there was a speedy cure. Tom Yacobin invites you to call 724-228-7187. 724-228-7187 to learn all about the Safe Money Annuity. It's that five-year plan that allows your money to grow at a very significant rate, guaranteed. If you have $100,000 or more, the rate is 5%. If you have less than that, it's 4.8%. WestPennLife.com. WestPennLife.com. Quick time out. We'll be back to wrap it all up in a bow right after this. You know, prepare to be shocked here, ladies and gentlemen, shocked and appalled. The New York Post ran an article yesterday headlined Obama official Hillary donors improv actor meet Silicon Valley Bank's board of directors. You know, you thought the bank's woke, sex obsessed risk manager was bad enough. Wait till you hear all of this. Because it explains an awful lot about where we are. Here's just a few of the people who managed Silicon Valley Bank on its 12-member board of directors. You ready for this? There's Kate Mitchell, 64 years old, a Hillary Clinton mega donor and diversity champion who went to a Shinto shrine to pray after Donald Trump won the White House. That sounds reasonable. There's Mary J. Miller, who's 67, Obama's undersecretary of domestic finance before her own run for Baltimore mayor failed spectacularly. Her PAC apparently sent an awkward email to potential donors saying her campaign strategy was to target white voters. That doesn't go over well. There's Garen Staglin, 78-year-old prolific Democrat contributor, including to Nancy Pelosi, who himself owns a Napa Valley vineyard just 15 minutes away from the Pelosi's vineyard. You know, so many of my friends own vineyards, I gotta tell you. Also, Elizabeth Busy Burr, 61 years old, who's implementing diversity, equity, and inclusion crap as the interim CEO of Rite Aid and is a longtime improv actor. Former Congressman Barney Frank, the 82-year-old, ironically, co-author of the biggest bank security law in history, the Dodd-Frank Act. According to the Boston Herald, he has earned $2.4 million since 2014 for his great work on the SVB board.
Did you hear what he said?
Wow. Did he blame Trump?
No, he said, well, I had to make money.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. So you've got that going on. You've got people who are woefully not qualified, managing billions and billions of dollars. Now you've got this. A former Delta Airlines pilot. The stuff in the skies, ladies and gentlemen, it scares the everlasting liver out of me.
Don't worry, Mayor Pete's all over.
A former Delta Airlines pilot raising awareness now about issues with aviation safety. And this has nothing to do with the jabs that the pilots had to get, right? Arguing that, quote, we are at a critical waypoint after observing an unusual number of commercial aviation incidents recently. According to Lee Mowak, who piloted Boeing 767 planes for Delta and served as president of the Airline Pilots Association, several occurrences within the last 3 months that came close to resulting in tragic accidents have to be addressed. In a Washington Post opinion piece titled "Airline Safety is at a Breaking Point, We Can't Wait for Tragedy to Fix It," he cited several of these events. On December 18th, the United Airlines Boeing 777, just seconds into takeoff from the island of Maui, climbed to around 2,000 feet before entering a steep dive and coming within 775 feet of the Pacific Ocean, he wrote. As reported by the Seattle Times, United refused to reveal how many passengers were on board the 312-person capacity plane or what could have caused the plummet. According to the outlet, that flight took place on the same day that 36 people were hurt, including 11 seriously, on an extremely turbulent Hawaiian Airlines flight from Phoenix to Honolulu. Excuse me. Mowak continued, sharing another instance from January 11th, when the nation's airspace came to a standstill for more than 2 hours after the FAA issued the first nationwide ground stop since September 11th, 2001, because its method for communicating alerts to pilots failed. The FAA's computer system faced massive outages, forced thousands of U.S. flights to be delayed. On January 19th, the Biden administration said in a statement workers were attempting to correct synchronization between the main and backup databases when they accidentally deleted some files. That's like it came from a wet market, okay? Went on to cite other recent incidents involved botched landings and takeoffs that could have been dangerous, including a January 26th instance when the tails of two different Alaska Airlines Boeing 737s struck the ground on takeoff due to weight and balance miscalculations only 6 minutes apart while departing Seattle. Look, if we're not hiring the best and the brightest, if we're cutting corners, if these companies are more interested in profits over people, look at Norfolk Southern. That's what you get. What is it going to take for people to wake up and snap out of this DEI, ESG garbage land? It makes no one safer. It makes nothing better. It has to stop now. Thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you. We hope you got something out of it. Remember, download the Wendy Bell Radio Network app and the Wendy Bell Radio podcast. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Love you guys. Peace.